You're listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca. This is the Made of Clay Report. I'm Eric Clay, your host, and our guest on this episode is Dejan Lefebvre. Dejan, it's good to see you here today. Good to have you.
Glad to be here.
So, the way the show begins is with a huge question. Who are you? What do we need to know about the values you aspire to live by, the labels you wear? What do we need to know to get this conversation started?
Well, that's a big question.
Yep, it is. It's unanswerable in some profound sense, but it's a starting point.
Yeah, I feel like to get to know me, you definitely need to know about my mission, my passion.
Sure.
Yeah, to start off.
So tell me, what is it?
Well, to put it in the quickest way possible, is sure. I have a burning desire to help people become financially stable, mm-hmm. and to learn more about financial education, especially the low income people.
Sure.
And it's been a struggle to figure out how I'm going to be able to do that. But I'm slowly figuring out what my savings challenge, which we'll get more into later.
Right. Yeah, sure. And how did you discover that?
Well, it all started off back when I had a terrible, terrible accident in Florida. Not like a physical accident, but I moved down there after graduation, high school graduation.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And the point was just to live there, live normally as like a, I guess we were supposed to just, sort of like a vacation, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. we moved there, so it wasn't really a vacation.
Right. So it was some time to try to get your feet on the ground after a move.
Right after high school, sure. Which I didn't know anything about adulthood or how
it
to
was
survive
like
on my
3 years
own.
Ago.
Yeah. And it did not pan out well. It didn't work out with the roommates. I ran out of money fast,
right.
And I ended up having to come back and live with my dad for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But, go ahead.
Sorry. Sure, no, yeah. So what do you, my guess is coming back and living with your dad wasn't exactly your first plan.
No, it was definitely not.
And what, and I want to dig into this story, but let's take a little break for music to open it up with, you brought some music with you. What
yeah,
do you want to,
let's
what
play,
do you want to start with?
The Sunflower.
Okay, here we go. Listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca, and this is the Made of Clay Report. And our guest on this episode is Dejan Lefebvre. So Dejan, you had a bad experience a few years ago getting out of high school, living on your own, and you came back, and now your mission is economic literacy,
financial literacy.
Financial literacy.
Yeah.
So what did you have to learn?
I had to learn everything. Well, I was 18 at the time. All 18 years of learning, I had to essentially just throw out of the book and learn like all types of new stuff that I didn't even know existed.
And so what were some of those lessons? What were some of the things you did to start?
Well, the first thing was never move 1,500 miles away with $1,100. That was definitely the big one. Definitely have like a savings, you know, have something to fall back on in case of emergency. Those were the big ones immediately.
Right. And what did you learn? So when you came back here and landed with your dad, you started working. What did you start doing?
It was about 4 months that I did not work. I just went and worked out at the gym because that's, you know, what I like to do. But then I got this job at the hotel, the Ithaca Marriott in the Commons.
Sure.
January 9th, 2017 is when I got the job. I still actually work there to this day.
Right.
And that's all when it started. I started learning, you know, you got to have a job to make some money.
Right.
Which is, you know, common sense. But this was my first job. I never had a job prior to this. My mentor was the one who really, really like started to dig into me all these new things about finances and being able to like, you need to know how to understand money.
So what were your first lessons with your mentor? What were the first things you set out?
Accounting. Definitely accounting.
Okay. And what was that?
Like money in, money out, like how much I make.
Right.
How much I spend, where my habits and stuff were.
So basically working on a budget.
Right. Yeah.
So how long did it take you to get that handle on that?
It took a while, actually, because I was very naive and I wasn't really listening to him. You know, he was teaching me things, but I wasn't exactly listening in the beginning because I didn't find, you know, the passion, the drive for it until about 6 months in.
Right. And what do you think it was about? What about your idea of yourself didn't really want to listen to him in the beginning?
I wasn't ready to make a change yet. I wasn't ready to like get rid of the video game, to learn new things. I was just excited about new things, but to actually do it, to take action towards those new things, I wasn't ready. I was just essentially just saying, yes, I want to do all these things, but I didn't actually do it.
Right. It was kind of like, yeah, it would be okay if those things happen, but I'm not ready to do a lot to make it.
Yeah.
Yeah. How is that any different than any other kid fresh out of high school? I mean,
yes, I think it's extremely different because most kids either, you know, they either go to school or, which is, you know, college, they either go to college or they do what I did is work. And it's different because I did end up making that decision to change and deciding, you know, I want to be an entrepreneur. So that's kind of how it ended up being. So I took an alternate route.
Right. So what made it possible for you to say, okay, I'm going to stop going to the just hanging out, working out in the gym. I'm going to stop the video game stuff enough to find a job. What convinced you that you were really ready to act on that?
Definitely when my mentor sat down with me and told me that this needs to stop. Because I showed him like how much money I spent on the video game.
Sure.
And then we both were looking at it and it was a large number. And that just wasn't it big after that.
And were you living at home still at that point or?
No, I moved in with my girlfriend in an apartment downtown. Right. Yeah.
But still, you weren't bringing in any money at that point.
Well, I mean, I just started this job. I didn't know how much money I was going to bring in exactly. I didn't know how much money I was making every month or how much my expenses cost. I just knew I had rent to pay and bills to pay. I didn't calculate anything.
Right. And you hadn't learned, that wasn't part of school for you.
No, they don't teach you that in school.
Right. That's one of the huge differences. There's a 40-year difference between you and me in terms of age. And one of the things that we got was basically budgeting and basic accounting and stuff like that, how to run a household, you know, and that's a major loss.
Right. Exactly. Not learning that in the beginning, right before you make that huge decision to go to college.
Right. And you were starting a household with your girlfriend even before you had gotten any education on that.
Right. We just essentially just survival at this point.
Sure. Right. Sure. And that I would imagine is a common story.
Yes.
And from what I hear from kids who have gone from high school to college, it's not until they leave college that they actually learn that, because when they're in, they're still on somebody else's money.
Yes, exactly.
And they're not budgeting their
money. And that's kind of like the good thing that me and my girlfriend got. We got to learn that, you know, the hard way, which sucked in the beginning, but now looking at it, you know, I'm 21 now, but I've learned a lot.
Right.
A lot.
Right, right, right. Well, so what about money did you learn, and what about yourself did you learn?
I definitely learned that you do not need to make more money to save more money, if that makes sense.
Yeah, okay, so it makes sense to me, but what does it mean to you?
To me, it means, like, for example, my bad habit, my biggest bad habit was video games.
Sure.
One time I spent, I think, like $1,200 in like 3 months time span.
Right.
And once I seen that, I realized it was a bad habit, cost me a lot of money, and I needed to get rid of it.
Right.
And once I got rid of it, you know, a year later, I saved 10 grand for my job. So.
Right, right. And you didn't get a raise.
Nope. Same pay the entire time.
Right, 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 right. You just reallocated your priorities.
Right, exactly. Right. I got rid of my expenses.
Yeah.
Well, not all of them, obviously.
No, no. But I mean, but we don't know. We don't know what we need to live on, because we live on what we want to live on.
Right, exactly.
And until you push that around a little bit, it's hard to know what the difference is.
Right, exactly.
So how did you meet this mentor?
I met him in, actually, I met him in high school.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Wise Project, which is an English class.
Sure.
In high school.
So this was a high school connection. What is the Wise Project?
The Wise Project was my project on personal training, and that's what he does as his profession.
Okay, so he works one on one with folks as their
trainer. He's a triathlete.
Sure.
Yeah, helps people with triathlons, trains them.
Okay, and you met him when you were doing a senior project?
Yes.
So why did he, you know, how did you guys stay connected?
Why did he care about me?
why did you bother to connect with him even when you didn't care for what he was saying?
Well, in the beginning, I didn't really know much about him. I just knew he was a triathlete.
And that's impressive.
And that he became, you know, a coach.
Right.
And then he made a business out of it. And then eventually, you know, time went by. I wasn't listening. I started to observe how his life was. And then I looked at mine and I was like, okay, I want more of what his life is like. So then I started to listen, because, you know, like, that's kind of what the whole apprentice mentor thing is meant
right,
for.
Right, right. And what did you see in his life that was lacking in your
life? I saw freedom, to be honest.
Okay.
You know, he was able to work when he wanted to, you know, make how much money he wanted to, live comfortably, take vacations regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't really able to do any of those things.
Right, right.
So I needed to knuckle down and figure out how he did that. So I started listening.
And you, that wasn't a lesson that you could even see until you were living on your own.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And trying to start up a household with your girlfriend.
Because before I moved to Florida and living on my own and stuff, and, you know, I live with my dad and he just did everything.
Right.
So.
Right. He didn't, I had a very different upbringing than yours, because I started working to help support my family when I was 11.
Right.
So I was bringing home money from that time until I left to go to college. And I paid for a third of the family car before I was old enough to drive it. But that's because there wasn't a whole lot to spend money on where I grew up, and savings was the major
thing. I mean, we grew up quite the same. I just didn't work. I regret it now because my dad definitely did need my help. He was a single parent. So.
Right. But one of the things is that parents, and I didn't have my kids work either, partly because there were so many other activities that seemed to be a better avenue to either going to college or figuring out what they wanted to do in their life, that I didn't hold that as an expectation for them the way it was for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of regret it. And your story kind of makes me understand that maybe it would have been better had I held them to it, but it would have made them very different than their peers.
Right.
So your trajectory was probably similar to your peers when you were in school.
Mm-hmm.
But then you took a much more self-responsible turn.
Yes, because I was heading in the same direction.
Right, 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 right. Well, let's take a quick cut to music. What should we play next?
Let Our Voice Be Heard by Angel Rose. Thank you.
On the TV about it, there was a woman driving and she had her phone out and her husband was sitting next to her and the police killed her husband and she was recording it. Sometimes they try to help, but sometimes they're just mean and they hurt the people.
Your rights are something that you were born with and that nobody can take away from. There was this saying, I was live as a slave or die free.
You're listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca, and this is the Made of Clay Report. Our guest on this episode is Dejan Lefebvre. So Dejan, something really important happened to you in 11th grade. So to put that into context, can you tell me a little bit about your life before then and what happened and what that was about?
Well, before the big event in 11th grade, I was pretty much just video games, and the only sport I played was basketball.
Sure.
But my dad was my coach. He was like literally everything, because my mom, she wasn't she was there, but she wasn't there. Mm-hmm. If that really makes sense, I don't really want to discredit her because we got a better relationship now.
Right. No, and things change. But at that time, she could not have an active role in your life.
Right.
For whatever reason.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And then leading up to 11th grade, but right before that, right before this big event, 11th grade, 10th grade, I tried out for basketball again, mm-hmm. and I didn't make it. And I took it personally. You know, I went home and I just looked in the mirror and I saw myself, and I was, you know, like a little Teletubby then. That's what I would call myself to motivate myself. Sure. Some people don't do that, but it motivated me.
For you, the negative talk helped to spur you to action.
Exactly.
Some people, it shuts them down.
Right, exactly.
Or leaves them with a wound.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And then, so that all happened, and then I just was discouraged for a little bit, and then the next year came and football was coming around, but right before football started, I met with the trainer, which was the sort of like a gym teacher, I guess you could mm-hmm, say, but sure. He'd come in after school and he'd watch, supervise the gym. So I took initiative and I went and saw him, and I had this gray sweatsuit on. I was like, I need to lose weight. I need your help. And he made me agree to something. He said, if I help you, you're going to have to play football for me.
And so that was a recruiting strategy,
right? Because the Ithaca High School at the time really didn't have a lot of players.
Right. It was not a hustling, winning team.
Exactly. And that's when it all started for me. You know, he started training me, started helping me figure out, you know, all these things about fitness, and mm-hmm. it started to alleviate my pain, essentially, because I had so much anger built up from my childhood. But after a while, I started, I think it was like 4 or 6 months, I don't remember the exact time,
sure.
but my body like transformed and I just became like really strong. And then I remembered I made this promise to him. So I ended up playing football and ended like, I fell in love with football. I fell in love with it. It was uh-huh. just like, it was awesome. And I don't mean that just because, you know, I was on defense, so I hit a lot of people. But just playing and being a part of like that brotherhood, like, yeah, we were losing a lot of games.
Right.
But it was still, yeah, it's fun to be a part
you
of.
You found your peeps.
Right.
And a physical play.
Yeah, exactly.
So what did you learn about your body that you didn't know before?
I definitely learned that I have a high pain tolerance.
Uh-huh.
I would play through injuries during football. I had this whole mindset that at the time I thought
that's
I was
not a Teletubby quality.
Exactly. At the time I thought I was going to college to play football.
Right.
And then it just football to me was very, it was emotional in a hidden way. Cause at the time, you know, you got to be a man.
A lot of bravado, a lot of,
right. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. But it was very emotional, especially when I left. The last game, we actually won. We broke the losing streak.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So that was important to me. It was senior year when that happened.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And what made the emotion of that sport and that game different than, say, you're being a son or, you know, or being part of a family? What made that emotion different?
Definitely the fact that, you know, when you're on the field, it's like a war zone, and you can always count on your teammates to provide for you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no blood family on the field with you.
Right.
I mean, I think my cousin played with me one time, but that was...
Yeah, but these are your family of choice, not the family you inherited.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, you choose the team. Well, you don't really choose the team, but
you choose to be on the team.
Yeah, you choose to be on the team, and you go out and you fight, and whether you win or lose, you're happy with the results, and you come back better.
Right. And how was that living differently than you had lived earlier in your life?
Well, earlier in my life, I was, you know, I was shy. All I did was play video games. I had like a very, very small group of friends. But then once I played football, you know, I got bigger, stronger, faster, uh-huh. and I became the captain of the team.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of went from, you know, a follower to a leader.
You went from a couch potato to a leader.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. But it sounds like it kind of happened late in your education.
Yes. Yes.
How did that affect you since it happened so late?
It affected me because I could have played for 4 years and that would have been amazing. But I didn't. I only played for 2. And I was just thinking, like, if I did all that in 4 to 6 months, like, how much, like, how more... further would I be if I did it for 4 years throughout my entire high school career. That's what kind of blew my mind. But obviously, you can't really get time back.
No, you can't get time back. And you also cannot sit with regrets either. You got to move forward, which is what you're doing. But what I was thinking is that you found some confidence, success, and some leadership, but it was too late to plan that next step.
Right.
And so you kind of, and what led to the choice to go to Florida after graduation?
My friend came to me. He was like, let's just move down to Florida and, you know, start something new. And at the time it seemed like a great idea and I was all for it.
Right. If you don't have any other plans, you know,
beaches and all types of stuff down there, different experience and new life.
And was anybody trying to direct you anywhere else, or was there anything else?
My dad wanted me to go and play college football, and kind of my entire family did.
Right.
And I did get a scholarship to Hartwick. Mm-hmm. I don't remember how much it was. I think it was $60,000, but it didn't really cover nearly how much it would have
cost. No, and if that's over 4 years, it doesn't cover.
Yeah, it's only $15,000 every year.
Yeah, and Hartwick will pick up kids like yourself. I've heard of others who it's done.
Yeah.
But you were, that's not where your head was.
Right. Exactly. As soon as, I made that decision, I was like, okay, I'm going to go to school. And then like a week right before, I just canceled. I was like, no, I called them, I apologized for wasting their time and stuff like that. They keep the deposit, which is fine. But, right after that.
So why'd you change your mind?
I changed my mind because I started to learn that, one, I'd be in debt, and two, I'd only go to school to play football. You know, I was still undecided. I didn't know what I was going to major in.
Sure.
And it just wasn't as important to me. Like, yes, I love football. I didn't want to disappoint my dad, but it wasn't a life-changing decision I wanted to make.
Right, and it doesn't sound like you could choose to go to college and just, I'm going to go here and I'm going to learn about what there is out there.
Right, exactly.
You know, to kind of find out what I want to do.
Right, and I came from a financially unstable family. Sure. So I would have been paying for all of that.
Right, yeah, you would have been deeply in debt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Well, and in that sense, it was a good choice, but you didn't have a good plan B.
Right, exactly. There was only plan A that sort of existed.
Right. And plan B became the non-plan B, the going south. What after you let go of the Hartwick option, how did your dad react?
I think he was a bit hurt, to be honest, because as the reason why I said at the time was told him I want to go to Florida and live with my girlfriend and my best friend and his girlfriend. So it was four of us who went down there. And I think that he, you know, he was hurt and he was confused. And he's like, you're such a great athlete. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. Obviously, he didn't say any of that. But you could just see it on his, you know, his facial expression. So.
Right. But for you to see it and to say that he didn't say it, that's kind of a real statement of respect for his self-control.
Yeah, it says a lot to me because obviously I'd never want to disappoint my dad. But at the time I was just terrified of going to college because I was never a great student. So going to college to play football just seemed like it sounds fun, but it's not really. It didn't seem like a great idea.
Right.
At the time.
And usually the football is the extra thing rather than the central thing.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Especially if you don't really like classes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So what did it take you? What did it take for you to experience before you could push yourself back to Ithaca?
Well, in Florida, when everything was going just absolute apocalyptic at the time, I was stuck inside for the entire duration, which was 2.5 months. We didn't have a car. Mm-hmm. Our roommates, you know, they moved out like a month in. So
they went on and did other things.
Yeah, they moved to their mother's. out. She lives somewhere in Florida.
Sure.
So then I was just stuck there, and I was like, okay. My girlfriend had a job. She had two jobs. I just couldn't find a job. But I would just be inside all day playing games, and essentially just losing my mind the entire experience, because I didn't know if I was going to eat tonight. I didn't know if I was going to be able to make sure she got home, because I didn't have any money for a taxi or anything.
Sure.
But my friends made sure she got back. So, and sometimes she'd take a tab or a cab. And we mostly ate at a gas station, which was, I think, about a 15, 20 minute walk.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Just, yeah.
So you had to, you learned how to scrape by.
Yeah.
And how unsatisfying that was.
Yes. The not having money played a huge part in why I started my financial business today.
Yeah. Is it, and do you think you would have been as clear about trying to be financially stable as you are if you had not had that experience? Did you need to go through that?
I definitely needed to go through that. Definitely needed to experience that, learn from it, and move on.
Right. And did you get like a bus ticket or a plane ticket back home, or did you have enough to come back on your own?
Well, this is the nice thing.
Sure.
So the roommates who moved out, they actually got a big truck because their mom was moving back up to Ithaca.
Uh-huh.
So we just kind of hitched a ride with them, thankfully.
Right.
Otherwise, I might have still been down there for a little bit longer.
Right. But you also never gave up your relationships.
Right.
Some people, when they get so down about their situation, they cut ties with friends and they isolate themselves and
well,
stuff.
Well, I mean, actually, we kind of did cut ties with the two roommates.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
For a bit. But now, you know, I've spoken to them because I don't like having bad vibes with anybody.
No, life is too short.
Right, exactly. To hold grudges and stuff like that.
Right. So let's cut to music. What would you like to play next?
Till I Collapse, Eminem.
Okie doke. Here we go.
Adrenaline shots, the penicillin could not get the illness to stop. Amoxicillin's just not and my eye. I'ma rip this in my bone. Till the roof comes on. Till the lights go out. Till my leg give out. Can't shut my mouth. Till the smoke lives out. And my eye. I'ma rip this in my bone.
As soon as a verse starts, I eat it at MC's heart. What is he thinking? I'm not to go against me smart. And it's absurd how people hang on every word. I probably never get the props I feel I ever deserve. But I'll never be served. My spot is forever reserved. If I ever leave Earth, that would be the death of me first. Cause in my heart of hearts, I know nothing could ever be worse. That's why I'm clever when I put together every verse. My thoughts are sporadic. I act like I'm an addict. I rap like I'm addicted to smack like I'm Kim Mathers. But I don't wanna go forth and back in constant battles. The fact is I would rather sit back and bomb some rappers. So this is like a full-blown attack. I'm launching at him. The track is on some battle and raps and want some static. Cause I don't really think that the fact that I'm slim matters. I'm black and platinum status is whack if I'm not the baddest.
Till the roof comes off, till the lights go out, till my legs give out, can't shut my mouth, till the smoke clears out, and my high, I'ma rip this till my bone, till the roof comes off, till the lights go out, till my legs give out, can't shut my mouth, till the smoke clears out, and my high.
You're listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca. This is the Made of Clay Report. Our guest on this episode is Dejan Lefebvre. So, you had, you went through this experience of kind of just ending up on the floor, basically, you know, failing
out.
Yeah,
we actually slept on the floor.
and a lot of parents, a lot of people have a hard time watching their kids or their loved ones suffer or fail, and so mm-hmm. they want to go in and rescue them, but that would have stopped you from actually figuring out and figuring out how to get back to Ithaca with the friend's mother who was coming back. But you also that got you back here, but it seemed to be like there was another 6 months or so before you kind of got the memo. Mm-hmm. And what helped you get the understanding was that you saw your mentor living with a quality of freedom and dignity in his life that you didn't have.
Yes.
And is that when the burning desire began to get lit in you to learn about financial literacy?
Yeah, in a way, because, you know, growing up the way I grew up, I always knew like family, money has always been tight, always, right, for as long as I've been alive. And the burning desire started, you know, seeing my dad struggle, it started there, but then actually seeing an opportunity to be able to learn all of these things, to give back to my dad, to my family, to be able to help them and help these people.
Mm-hmm. So, but you had to be in a position where you couldn't support yourself before you saw both that and giving back.
Right.
As a bundle that you needed to do together.
Right, because at the time, you know, when I was down there, it was only the purpose of that was I was in a very ignorant state of just,
sure,
do whatever,
you
live
were
your
just
life.
Doing whatever you wanted to.
Right, exactly.
Let the rest be damned.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just curious. You had said that, and I know about families that struggle. Too. I mean, it's a common thing. But that struggle seems to have been something you experienced, but you didn't share with your parents.
Right.
How was it so that you didn't feel, was it a good thing that you didn't feel like you shared it with them, or was it a not good thing? How do you see that?
I saw it as a embarrassment, to be honest with you.
Okay. So you just wanted to keep away from that. You just want to be as far away from their condition.
Right, because when I got back and I lived at my dad's for about 4 months, I was in my little sister's room, so I was surrounded by pink and uh-huh. teddy bears and dolls and stuff, so it was total embarrassment. I didn't want to talk about what happened. I wanted to just move forward and figure out what was next.
Right, right. So, but you're talking about what happened now.
Right.
So what changed?
Well, what changed was my mentor actually seeing me more frequently. Like, mm-hmm. we met, I think, like twice a week instead of just like once every month.
Right.
Meeting with him more frequently allowed me to observe more and learn more about like what he does in his daily life and the education that he was trying to give me. I was finally starting to listen.
And what were you doing with what you heard at that point? How did you begin to put it together?
I started to put it together in ways of myself first, started off. Mm-hmm. I started off by taking what he was teaching me and applying it to my life.
Okay, so what did he teach and what did you do?
He taught me how to save, essentially. He told mm-hmm. me, you know, this is what's taking away from your money, so take that away, now you've got all this money.
Okay.
And
so did he, what was your reaction when you say you have to give up something that you like doing?
It was terrible. I was so sad when I had realized that I needed to sell the game and stop playing it and go outside more and read more books, mm-hmm. essentially. But it was really heartbreaking because I grew up with the game and I've sure. always played the game for as long as I can remember. And having to give it up just seemed unrealistic. But if I wanted to make that change, I needed to give it up.
So what made the change worthwhile?
Definitely saving $10,000 in a year.
No, but you didn't. You hadn't saved. When you made the change, so you could do it.
Right.
Can you remember what you were thinking or feeling when you said, you know, I don't like this, but I'm going to do it?
Definitely setting a goal.
Okay.
To save $10,000. Right. It was the beginning.
So that was a goal from the outset.
Yes. And he told me I wouldn't be able to reach it unless I got rid of the game.
Because you'd done the math. You knew how much
right,
you were
exactly.
spending. So that yeah. that could be... So right. that was a realistic goal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then it started, you know, towards the beginning is like March-ish that I started saving.
Sure. Yeah.
But I started essentially just getting money every month once I started to... Well, every week once I started to work in January, mm-hmm. but I didn't actually start to save until about March in that year.
Right. And was that just because you hadn't figured it out yet or because you had enough debts and enough things you needed to get started?
Right. Well, when I added all the $1,200 up that I spent on a video game, it was June-ish that I sold the game. And just after that, I started piling up a lot of money.
Oh, okay. So
a lot of money.
So you were kind of coasting.
Yeah, I was kind of. It's kind of like when you say you're going to give up a bad habit, but you don't actually do it.
Right.
And then you finally make that decision to change, and life just literally changes.
You're like flirting with the intention until it gets real.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there some. It sounds like this is also how you chose to grow up.
Yes.
How you chose to become an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Was that conscious on your part, or is that conscious on your part? Because, you know, that's a big choice.
Yeah, I think it was, to be honest, I think it was unintentional.
Okay. What was intentional?
I definitely knew that I wanted to make the change, but mm-hmm. at the time, it just seemed like the game's not causing this issue. Like, right. it's a video game. It's not causing that issue. But there was this other part of me. It's like, you spend a lot of money on this game. So
money, time, attention.
It's, yeah, like 6 to 8 hours a day I spent on the game. Anytime I wasn't at work, I was playing the game.
You could have relationships, friendships, activities.
Yeah.
Out the wazoo. With
all types of stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So you just, but the focus was getting rid of it because it was a cost you couldn't bear.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool. Cool. Now that you have this burning desire to kind of both understand financial literacy and to share it, what are you trying to do?
Well, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to spread what my mentor taught me in a sense that has been simplified, because he taught me like all of the back end of things, all of the textbook side of financial literacy. Mm. And obviously, you know, I'm young, I'm still learning.
Sure.
But the basics of it, you know, money in, money out, mm-hmm. learning to control your habits or just get rid of them entirely.
Right.
Is the bread and butter.
If you don't manage it, it manages you.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes. And that's the message that I'm trying to get across. Mm-hmm. And it's so ignored, that message, and I want it to be more public.
But, and so who are you trying, who is ignoring the message? And who are you trying to speak to? Who are you trying to
get to? Well, I mean, the message that I'm giving off is, you know, it's freshly new, but I mean, I'm pretty sure plenty of people have been trying to get people to learn how to save money. They just haven't been, I'm losing my words.
They don't understand why it matters, or they haven't been inspired. I mean, I'm thinking of all sorts of words.
I guess that people just aren't being inspired by savings because they feel as if they're not able to make that change. Like, they don't have the strength to make that change, which is entirely, you know, it's not true. You can, you just have to have a reason to do it. Like mine was, I wanted to save 10 grand.
Right.
So I had to get rid of the game. And then once I did that, I actually got the game back.
Right. But where does the game sit in your life now?
Not of importance. It's not like as costly as it used to be. You know, I learned my lesson and I don't spend money on the game anymore. It's just something I do. If I have some spare time, I'll do it on like a Friday or a Saturday. I'll just play the game for a bit.
Right.
But it's not every day like how it used to be. And it doesn't cost me.
It's not an addiction.
Yeah. It doesn't cost me $1,200.
Right. So. Or an obsession is probably a better way of putting it.
Yeah.
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 So my sense is this is a message that older people really can't give younger people. They generally don't have credibility. I don't know how old your mentor is, but
I think he's 38. I don't know exactly.
Right. So, but he's he's just barely a generation older than you are.
Yeah. But he was just like, for example, the way I grew up.
Sure.
You don't talk about finances at the table.
Mm-hmm.
But the way he grew up, you talk about finances at the table.
Yeah.
And that right there is a huge lesson because if you talk about finances at the table, it becomes a normality and you spread that amongst even all your kids or whoever's at the table eating with you. And I feel like that, you know, that's just one of the lessons that he's taught me, you know, to talk openly about finances, let it be known that, you know, it's a topic that shouldn't be ignored because it affects everything.
Right. And this may be my struggle. This may be my complete impossibility. This may be my dream. This may be my unrealistic fantasy.
Right.
But we're going to talk explicitly
about
money.
People have this comfort zone around money.
Yep.
But it doesn't have to be that way.
Right. Right.
It's put into your mind. It's put into your mind that it's uncomfortable to talk about finances at the table because of whatever shame you might feel about it.
And people do feel shame.
Exactly.
And I facilitate groups, but I don't have fees for my groups. It's all donation based.
Right.
And I ask the participants, it's your job to decide what it's worth to you and what you can reasonably give to support this work. And if it's nothing, it's nothing. If it's full freight, it's full freight in terms of what you would pay for it if it were transactional. But I force that issue back on people because I know how hard a time we have talking about money.
Right. Exactly.
And people squirm.
Yes,
they want
me
to just tell me how much it costs. And I'm not going to tell you how much it costs. How much is it worth to you?
Right.
And how are you going to build it into your life if it's worth something to you?
Right. Exactly.
And that's like savings.
Yes. It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's great, man.
Yeah. So let's cut to music because we're going to get in all five of your songs here. So what are we playing next?
Dedication by Nipsey.
Okay, here we go.
Look, my this is dedication. This is anti-hesitation. This is real digging celebration. This is a dime block declaration. 59th and 5th Ave, granny house with vanilla wafers. This the remedy to separation. Tupac of my generation. Blue pill in the open matrix. Red rose in the great pavement. Young black digging trapped and he can't change it. Know he a genius, he just can't claim it. Cause they left him no platforms to explain it. He frustrated so he get faded. But deep down inside, he know you can't fail. How long should I stay dedicated? How long till opportunity meet preparation? I need some real working reparations. Or I run up in your bank just for recreation. Dedication, hard work, plus patience. To some more of my sacrifice, I'm done waiting. I'm done waiting, told you that I wasn't playing. Now you hear what I've been saying. Dedication. Dedication. I spent my whole life thinking out the box. Boxing homies 3-on-1, got DP, but I ain't dropped. Chirp on me, here I come. Spin around the block, they blurped on me. Said I ran a stop sign, but that's a lie.
I spent my whole life staring at the stage, playing Sega, daddy smoking Sherm, mama playing spades, catching vapors. Grandma said I'd get some Jordans for my grades. That's my baby. When she died, my heart broke 100 ways. I spent my whole life trying to make it, trying to chase it. The cycle of a black man divided, trying to break it. You take a log, this shit, don't cry about it, just embrace it. Minor setback for major comeback, that's my favorite. My and L said you do a song with Nip. K-Dot, he a better grip. I said he a man first, you hear the words out his lips about flourishing from the streets to black businesses. Level 4-yard living, giving to false imprisonment. Listen close, my nigga, it's bigger than deuces and foes, my son. In this elementary, be close, my nigga, get straight like that. I give you the game, go back to the turf and give it right back. For generations, we've been dealt bad hands with bad plans. Prove your dedication by hopping out Grand Ams. We met the premier politicking with Top Nip and Snoop. Man, clock watching the way we grew. Dedication.
If it ain't congratulating, it look like hate. If it ain't congratulating, it look like what Nip said.
Hold up.
La. This ain't entertainment. It's fuzzy and on a slave ship. These songs just the spirituals I swam against them waves with. Ended up on shore today, amazement. I hope the example I set's not contagious. Lock us behind gates, but can't tame us. Used to be stay safe, now stay dangerous. Cause ain't no point playing defense. That's why I dove off the deep end. We're in without a life jacket. Couple mil, tour the world, all my life cracking. Cook the books, bring it back, so there's no taxes. Royalties, publishing, plus our own masters. I'd be demanding if I slave for some wages. Arrows, I was mapping this out, I hit the heights backwards. Topping out the 85 and Reebok classes. Ran a couple marathons just to get established. To make it happen, you got to have it. Dedication, hard work, plus patience. To some more of my sacrifice, I'm done waiting. I'm done waiting, told you that I wasn't playing. Now you hear what I've been saying.
You're listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca. This is the Made of Clay Report, and our guest on this episode is Dejan Lefebvre. So, Dejan, tell me about the financial education program that you're putting together, you're trying to make a business of.
Well, right now, it's a savings challenge, and its essential purpose is to teach people how to save money.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way,
who are you teaching? Who are you interacting with?
Essentially, anybody that wants to learn how to save money.
That's, sure.
Yet I'm not really picky and choosy about it because everybody needs to learn it.
Something. So are you doing this as a public service or is this a business?
In the beginning, it was a public service. Mm-hmm. And then eventually I realized that if people are going to take it more seriously, I need to put, you know, a dollar sign on it.
Sure, sure. They need to pay you for your time.
Right.
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 And are you finding clients?
In the beginning I was. I haven't launched the next challenge yet.
Sure.
I just finished the last one in April.
Uh-huh, so,
Yeah.
And it's hard to make that transition from where people can kind of try you out because you're doing it for free.
Right. And I'm also young.
And you're also young.
Exactly.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And but also what you can do is you can leverage relationships with peers if they see what you've done.
Right.
I mean, they can see the respect that you have by having a job and by also saving and money. It's yeah. So, what's your plan? What is your? How do you work with these
well,
clients or people you're trying to influence?
The beginning all started in, you know, September 2018 when mm-hmm. I launched my first one. It wasn't official. It wasn't really organized. It was underneath the books and it was free.
Right.
And I got 13 people to sign up and do it. And I helped them save over $18,000. And that was a huge accomplishment for me because I only wanted them to save 10 grand. That was like my goal for them.
You wanted the 13 of them to do what you had done in 1 year.
Exactly.
But they would do it in about 6 months.
No, it was only three.
3 months.
Yeah.
3 months. Wow.
Right. Well, okay. They all had like individual savings goal,
sure.
Like $1,000, $2,000.
Yeah.
But
what they made was
over $18,000. Yeah. Right. And that was in 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And that was special to me because I was just doing this in the beginning as just like a okay, let's just try this and help these people. I'll teach them what I know.
Sure.
And then after that, it became official. And I was like, okay, I'm actually going to do this and make it more public and see if it actually works out. And then I launched the first official one on my website. Mm-hmm. And I put a price tag on it. But I told them that if, like, this was the deal. Like, if they signed up and they set a goal and then they reached their goal, like their financial savings goal, that I would give them their money back. But I only got two people to sign up for it. So uh-huh. I was confused by that because I was going to help them get it, like save more money and then give them their money back. So it was a bit confusing, but I worked with the people that I got.
Sure, yeah. Sure. So how are you tweaking the model the next time around?
I'm definitely going to figure out where it went wrong between the free and the put a price tag on it, but still free if you finish it.
Right.
I need to figure out what went wrong there.
Or you may need to, yeah. No, I have a whole lot of thoughts, but this is probably not the best place to go thinking with my mouth open, although, which I do too much of. But no, that's really, really neat. So this is a work in progress, and I look forward to hearing how it plays out in the months and years ahead. I also want to ask you, from the way you one of the question I normally end the show with is, what do you do to take care of yourself emotionally, intellectually, and physically? Which, in my way of looking at things, adds up to spiritually. Mm-hmm. And you know, when did you learn how to do that? And what do you do? From your story, part of it was you learned in 11th grade.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it you learned by being on the floor in Florida.
Right.
And part of it you learned by the light bulb going off with your mentor.
Mm-hmm.
But what is your telling? And did you learn how to take care of yourself earlier, or were you just kind of walking around in a daze?
Well, my dad started to test me out when I was about 16. He stopped, you know, cooking dinner for me and told me to, you know, cook my own dinner.
Right.
Which was, at the time, it was a big deal for me because I was so used to him always cooking and, you know, him
doing
dishes.
It was his effort to help launch you.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that, you know, that's when it all started for me. Like, 2 years, I'm about to be on my own.
Right.
So that's definitely when it started for me. And then in high school, you know, when I started to work out, that's when I started to actually care
about my health. And that's about the same age.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's around the same area. Yeah.
So that process started and you began to take it.
Yeah, it's essentially was like leading me up to mm-hmm. the being 18 and right. living on my own.
Right, right. So the first thing that fell in place though was the physical self-care.
Yes, that at the time was more important than my mental state because I feel the mental is harder to accomplish than the physical. Because mm-hmm. the physical, you just go to the gym and you got to know what you're doing in the gym, obviously. Can't do the same stuff.
Right, but any kind of physical workout is going to help calm you, going to yes. help deal with the frustration
yes.
and the anger.
Release endorphins,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. It's just going to help to center you. And what's harder about the emotion piece? What do you do to kind of get your handle on that?
I like to find like a peace place. Like I'll go to the falls and just like relax. Like mm-hmm. Sometimes I get really emotionally overwhelmed.
Sure.
And I love water. Like being next to water, hearing water, it keeps me calm. Mm-hmm. You know, another thing is the gym, obviously. But sometimes I just want to just sit and relax. And there's another thing that I'll have this group discussion, like conversation with my friends, and we just talk about all types of things.
Sure.
That, you know, like life, and I talk about finances.
Right. Do they meet you with finance conversations? Are they getting
they don't
more
really,
comfortable or no?
Well, they're, you know, they've all are in a different situation than I am because they don't have to worry about most of the stuff that I do.
I see.
That makes right. sense. I don't want to discredit them.
No. I know. I know what you mean.
Yeah. So, it's very limited, but we do talk about a lot of things outside the financial realm.
Right. Right. And one of the things about the emotional self-care is oftentimes about having relationships with other people.
Yes.
So it's not just about the meditating or the finding the calming space is helpful, but the real muscular self-care is about with those relationships that you can really walk through
right.
with others.
And experiencing, you know, different aspects of people in
right.
general.
Right. Right. And how and where so It sounds like you have a set of long-standing friends.
Yes.
That's the group that you talk with. But it also sounds like you are young enough, you're making more friends.
Yes, I've made a lot of friends, which are mostly mentors. I don't get involved with parties and all that stuff that normal kids do at this age. So most of my friends are, you know, 35 and up. That's the company I like to be around because I can learn from them.
Right.
And that's kind of where I'm at right now. I want to learn and I want to evolve more into somebody who can help people.
Right. And you're also pushing the envelope on, can you launch in a way that doesn't require you to go to college?
Right. Exactly.
And that's a risky kind of, that's a risky,
it's a huge
move.
Risk.
But you can't get sidelined
right
with peers who are learning the things that you've just learned.
Right. Exactly. Like the kids who are my age are either, you know, they're in school or they're not in school. And my friends are all in the middle of that realm.
Sure.
So, you know, what they could teach me, I've pretty sure I mostly learned. I'm not saying I learned, I know everything.
And you still have things.
I have lots to learn, but I'm trying to, you know, reach out and explore more and try to bring in as much information as I can and learning.
And one of the things you described before was that you need to read.
I love to read.
Yeah,
it's a huge.
And you probably and you didn't really do that in school.
No, I did not. But if I did, I probably would have been a better student.
right. And you know, it's very powerful. You have a very powerful story.
Thank you.
And as you tell it, and as other people respond to it and react to it, I think you're gonna make some really interesting connections.
I hope so, man.
Dijon, it's really, really good to get to know you.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Yeah. I'm glad to be here.
What should we close the show with?
Monster.
Okay. Jacob Banks, Monster.
Yeah, Jacob Banks, Monster.
Shark in my bed. They gave me to the kind of free. They set the hounds on my tracks. They made a demon out of me. Then they put a cross on my face. They put a serpent out for me. Cause I got some blood on my hands. But they would see me when I'm coming. I'll be laughing while you're running. Oh, oh, you won't see me when I'm coming. I'll be the monster you've been wanting. Oh, oh. Oh, 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 they put a bounty out of me. They're all excited by my shame. But they won't see me when I'm coming. I'll be laughing while you're running. Oh, you won't see me when I'm coming. I'll be the monster you've been wanting.
Said you sure you let me drown. You hit my crown, you burnt my bridge, you let me down, you never round. Let's subtract all the fake, I don't need no additions. Like go with the signs, all them times I done said they can't fuck with division. Still dropping gems, I need rings for my hand. Ain't no weak link in the chain of command. Glance from the sand, I'm where niggas ain't swam. See they jump ship, still ain't never found land. Oh man, that's why I don't wanna try no more. I don't wanna lie no more. Can't nurture the hurt when I'm turned. It's the birth of a person I don't recognize no more. Oh no.
I've been laughing while you're running.